Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus, in for Joe Donahue. It's Tuesday. We heard the song just a little bit after 10, which means only one thing on WAMC, time for book picks. And this week we're joined by Sarah Knight from the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont. Hey, Sarah, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to come over here and talk about books.
Well, we're excited to have you here. I think you thought that Joe would be here today because you're stocked with mysteries.
Yes, I am, but I will tell you about them anyway.
Please do.
And maybe you'll be so enticed that you'll want to read some of them.
Yeah, that's the mystery we'll solve.
Okay. The first book I have is by a Danish author, Jussi Adler Olsen, The Keeper of Lost Causes. We at the Northshire are still selling a lot of Scandinavian mysteries at the popularity of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. People are still coming in a couple years later saying, what else have you gotten? I love those Scandinavian mysteries.
Is there a Scandinavian mystery like shelf?
Yes, there is. And we constantly replenish it and it constantly sells. And we're always looking for new authors that our readers have not read. And Jussi Adler Olsen, The Keeper of Lost Causes, we discovered him. This has just came out in paperback. And it's about a detective named Carl Morick, who, of course, as in all these novels, is disgraced. And he goes in thinking he's going to be demoted, but he gets a promotion and he's really surprised. Hmm. He's promoted to Department Q in the basement. Department Q is a newly created department, and what he's given is a stack of cold case mysteries and told, you need to solve these. You need to work here. We are giving you one assistant, a man named Assad, who is a Syrian refugee, and he will help you in any way he can.
Huh.
So Carl just sits down there for the first few days feeling sorry for himself. And Assad kind of, with humor, dark humor, kind of prods him into taking a look at the cold cases. And the first case he comes across is a liberal politician, a woman, had disappeared 5 years ago. Her body was never found. Nobody knows what happened to her. Is she dead? Did she fall off the passenger ferry that she was on? Was she pushed? Was she kidnapped? If she was kidnapped, is she still alive? So Carl, along with Assad, start following clues, and they come to the conclusion that maybe she was kidnapped and perhaps she's still alive, and they're off on the case.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very entertaining mystery. It's well done. I recommend it highly. And if you come in and read that one, his next one is coming out in hardcover next week. It's called The Absent One.
And this is Jussi.
Adler-Olsen.
Right.
And the second one, The Absent One, has both characters back, and this time, because they were so successful with solving the first cold case, they're given another assistant, a woman, whom is the exact opposite of Carl, and she and he really don't get along very well. They have very different working styles, and Assad is there with his humor, kind of pushing both of them along. This case is a lot darker. It has to do with a man who was accused of murdering someone, and he confessed and was put in jail. But the police were never really satisfied with his confession or the circumstances surrounding the crime. So they open it up and look at it. A brother and a sister were murdered 20 years ago. And the person who confessed and is now in jail is part of a group of well-to-do students who were a clique in boarding school. And now these people are very prominent, well-to-do businessmen in Denmark. So it's a little dicey going after and investigating these people. The detective finds that there was a woman that was in their group, but she is now mentally ill and living on the streets as a bag lady. So he starts investigating, and he finds that these four other men, are scared to death of this woman. What does she have over them? What's happening here? This is really quite dark, and these people are really quite evil. It's a satisfying read. It's well written, and it's well told, and I recommend it.
Are these pretty violent books?
This one is more violent. The first one is less violent. these people are really despicable. And it's really kind of a portrait of what true evil can be.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well, I'm intrigued.
Thank you. Now we're going on to a more literary mystery writer, Benjamin Black. His new book, Vengeance, came out about a week and a half ago. And Benjamin Black is really Booker Prize winner John Bamville writing under a pseudonym.
Mm-hmm.
And when this book came out, there was an article, I believe, in the Times and some other papers that the Raymond Chandler's group has hired him to write another Philip Marlowe mystery.
Oh, cool.
And it's supposed to come out next year. Bamville is a wonderful writer. He's a good storyteller. His language is absolutely gorgeous. And I think we're looking forward to seeing what he does with it. I think it'll be interesting because of who he is. But back to Vengeance. Vengeance is the fifth novel in his mystery series. It takes place in 1950s Dublin. It's very atmospheric. He does a wonderful job establishing a sense of place, a sense of time, the clothing, the mores. In this book, everyone's always lighting a cigarette, no matter where they are. And I think in our non-smoking era, I was very much aware of this. Oh my goodness, they're smoking again.
So unlike sometimes in the genre, that's not necessarily a clue to watch out for that character.
No, it isn't. No, because they are smoking. But this is about his hero is a pathologist named Quirk. And he is a middle-aged, alcoholic, womanizer with lots of psychological problems, as these heroes of many of these novels have. And he works along with a police detective in solving a case. The cases in Bamville's books usually involve upper echelons of Dublin society, well-to-do people. In this one, a well-to-do businessman takes his partner's son sailing. When they get out in the water, he disables the sails and pulls out a gun and kills himself, leaving the young man to float around. And the police think he was hoping probably that he would die also. Why did this guy do this? What's going on here? A few days later, the young man's father is found drowned. Under suspicious circumstances, the police believe that it was not a natural drowning. He was hit on the head. It looks like the bottom of his boat was, there was holes and a hole in the bottom of his boat that was not natural. So Quirk has to investigate the family. It's a little tricky again because of their social status. And there's a second wife who's a femme fatale. There's a crazy sister. There's twins, who young men in their early 20s, who are very, very weird. And Quirk also has a daughter who always manages to get the motley crew, who always manages to know somebody because it's such a small area, a small city, the upper echelon. And so, and Bamville, it's not only a mystery, it's really character studies, family relationships. The city of Dublin is very much a character in his mysteries. More than a whodunit, it's what happened here and his description of it. And he writes so beautifully. Even if you figure out who did it, you continue reading because he's such a great writer.
So that was Vengeance by pseudonym Benjamin Black. And that's out in hardcover.
That's out in hardcover. Right, my next one is a mystery. It came out this spring. It's called The Neruda Case, and it's by a Chilean author named Roberto Ampuero. He has written 12 novels in Spanish, and this is the first to be translated into English.
Huh.
This takes place in the early 1970s in Chile. It's about a young man, a young wealthy man who decides to become a private detective, though what he knows about being a private detective is mostly gleaned from detective novels he reads.
Like most of us.
Yeah, like most of us. So he's at a social function, and he meets the aging famous poet Pablo Neruda. Neruda hires him to find somebody that he tells the young detective he's been looking for this person for 30 years.
Hmm.
So, and he gives the young man some clues, and the young man goes off. And then the young man begins to sense that this isn't quite what Neruda is looking for, that he has another agenda. So he keeps reporting back to him, and Neruda sends him, he literally sends him around the world. He goes to Mexico City, he goes to Berlin, he comes back to Chile. As this is happening, and he's getting a little bit more each time from Neruda about what he wants, Neruda was dying of cancer at this time. Mm. And so it's kind of a chase between, are we going to find out exactly what this famous poet is looking for, who he is looking for, how it impacts his life before he dies?
How is Neruda as a character?
I mean, he's wonderful.
We know him from his work.
He's wonderful. And he has women all over the place who are falling at his feet, as do the young detective. It's a very kind of, it's just kind of dreamy kind of read. It's really just fun because so many of us, those of us who are familiar with Pablo Neruda, it's fun to read about him as a character in a book. And this author handles it so well. And I hope they translate more of his mystery novels because I think he's quite good.
That's The Neruda Case, Roberto Ampuero, in hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
The next one is The Lola Quartet by one of my favorite young authors. Her name is Emily St. John Mandel. This is her third novel, the first Last Night in Montreal, the second The Singer's Gun. I love them. They're stylish. She also is a wonderful literary writer. This is more a literary fiction that has a mysterious element in it, mm-hmm. rather than a whodunit type of thing. Her character, usually the main character in her book, is a someone who has been disgraced. Like, this man was a journalist, and he's fired from his job because of plagiarism or doing something that's not kosher. This is 2009. It's New York. People are scrambling for jobs. He can't find a job. So he ends up going back to his home in Sebastian, Florida, and taking a job with his sister, who deals in selling foreclosed homes. Talk about being depressed.
Sure.
This is a very depressed area of Florida now. It's a suburban area. It's not pretty at all. It's not someplace you want to go on a vacation. While they are looking at a house, his sister finds a picture of a 10-year-old girl and shows it to her brother and said, "This girl looks like you. And her last name is the last name of your high school girlfriend. Do you suppose she could be your daughter?"
Hmm.
So he sets out to find them. This former girlfriend and the daughter are on the run because they got in trouble, stole some drug money in Las Vegas. They're now hiding out. So he contacts his old high school friends, and they were all in a jazz group together. And you kind of see their lives, what their lives have become, how they've connected, disconnected with each other over the years. And it's kind of bleak, and you have a sense of danger is going to happen. You're wondering, you know, is there going to something terrible going to happen? It's a very compelling and satisfying read. I really like this young author, and I hope that she continues writing as well as she has in these first three books. I just can't say enough about her.
That's The Lola Quartet by Emily St. John Mandel. Sarah, how did you start reading mysteries? You weren't always a mystery fan.
I wasn't always a mystery fan. I started reading them when I went to work at the Northshire Bookstore because a friend of mine was in charge of the mystery section then, and she would say, "Did you read this?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I would read that years ago. We'll try this." And so she kind of enticed me back into reading them. And now she works one day a week, and I work the other days. And they call us the mystery mavens because, and we read some of the same things, but we also read different things. So if you're looking for a good mystery read, we can usually find something for you.
Quote the mavens.
Yeah, quote the mavens.
Let's talk about some summer reading. Tana French was on the book show last week with Joe Donahue.
I know.
Tell us about this book.
It's wonderful. It takes place, it's a continuation of her Dublin. This is contemporary Dublin, unlike John Banville's Dublin. It's about one of the characters from her previous book has to investigate a case, and it tangentially involves his past life in Dublin and things that he's done. And she is really good writing a suspenseful, she's a suspenseful psychological suspense. The characters are interesting. It's really a great read. And I'm glad it's on the bestseller list because it's something that I stand behind, and I'm glad to see it on the bestseller list.
That's Broken Harbor from Tana French. And if you wanted to hear that book show online at WAMC.org. What else? We only have a couple minutes left.
Okay, the other one I is on the bestseller list is The Fallen Angel by Daniel Silva. This is, again, it's art restoration, the Vatican, the Mossad, and Israel, and murder, and kind of saving the world. It's wonderful. He's a wonderful writer. This is, I don't know, 14th or 15th in the series. I'm not sure. And I always look for, he has one come out every year. And I always look forward to the summer to reading his book. It's just wonderful.
Again, Daniel Silva, The Fallen Angel. Time for one more, maybe?
Okay, the one more. This is a standalone paperback. It's called, this is true crime. It's called People Who Eat the Darkness. This true story of a young woman who vanished from the streets of Tokyo and the evil that swallowed her up. And it's by a Richard Lloyd Perry, who is an Asian author and Tokyo bureau chief of the Times of London. He spent 10 years writing this book. This young woman she was British. She went to Tokyo to earn some money because she had a lot of credit card debt. So she took a job as a hostess, which doesn't really have the connotation it does here in the West. And she went out one night with a man and was never seen again. Mm. He left a garbled message on her friend's cell phone, and that was it. And the Japanese police were hesitant about investigating it. Tony Blair had to get after him. This editor, Richard Lloyd Perry, had to get after them, but it was solved. And it is really very good. It reads like a thriller. I couldn't put it down.
I remember when this book came out. I'm going to have to add that to my list. Well, Sarah Knight is bookseller extraordinaire at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont. They're online at northshire.com. Sarah, thank you for being with us. Thanks for bringing all these books, and I appreciate your enthusiasm and your list. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.